Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who thinks chickens dream of one day being pot pies, Pete Schwabba.
Hey, Wisconsin. Welcome to Nightlight. I don't dream that ever. Conrad, let's never use that one again, please. Just sometimes you just say something over and over, and it's like I get tired of the sound of my own voice, or I don't ever want to hear myself saying a specific thing again, and that is one of them.
Hey, you made the joke. I'm just playing.
Listen, it served its purpose. I'm just ready to move on. That's all I'm saying. Hope everyone's doing well tonight. Welcome to Nightlight, wherever you are joining us from on this wonderful Thursday night in the state of Wisconsin. Welcome. It is a great night to be on statewide and broadcast from downtown Green Bay here at City Deck Landing and our WGBW studios. So much fun. Got a great show for you guys tonight. We might lose part of you, I understand, the debate. Right, Conrad? Is that...
Yeah, once it's 8 o'clock, you're going to lose some people to the debate.
I guess the people at the network feel it's more special to broadcast future presidential candidates, but I can't change that. So what are we going to do? That was a joke, Conrad.
Am I supposed to laugh?
Not if you don't think it's funny. You know what? You can just go take a powder, pal, for all I care. No, the debate does start at 8 o'clock. It will still be on anyway if you want to tune in on the stream, or the podcast will be there later if you do choose to listen to the debate here at Civic Media. We have great coverage. And we have a great show, so we hope you stay with us the whole time. But obviously you have that choice. My guest at 7:35 is Greg Schwemm, a syndicated columnist and an old stand-up comedy buddy. Very funny guy and a very successful columnist now for Tribune Content. And he has his site, The Humor Hotel, within Tribune, which is great. Greg does great work. And I read several of his articles over the last few days. And very relatable stuff. That's what I love about what Greg writes. It's stuff we can relate to. He has these beefs with things that I absolutely have been there. So very relatable reads. If you haven't checked out Greg's stuff, please do so. It's just fun to read, and it'll give you a chuckle. It's TribuneContentAgency.com, and Greg publishes a column called The Humor Hotel. Great stuff. He'll be here at 7:35. We'll have some laughs, talk about his articles and all kinds of stuff. We'll talk about the Rolling Stones. We'll talk about oldies. We'll talk about presidential debate gaffes and how our presidential candidates are supposed to be perfect. We don't expect them ever to make mistakes, even though they are quite, both of them are older. And, you know, even now, I can't think of what I'm going to say half the time. It's crazy. Or if they trip, oh, he's getting old. Or anyway, Greg addresses all this in his most recent article, and it's a really good read. It's called Stumbling My Way Off to the Presidential Ballot. So check that out before Greg is here, if you like. And then at 8:35, we have a guest who I just met yesterday on the phone, and she's wonderful. Carolyn Nelson Cavias will be here. She is the event coordinator for the 4th of July parade in Superior, Wisconsin, and she orchestrated the whole parade. It's a big deal up there, and Carolyn will be here to tell us what is going on in that pocket of Wisconsin over the 4th. We're trying to reach out to various parts of the state and find out what the 4th of July means to you, or what's going on there. How do you celebrate it? I know there's festivals all over Wisconsin in the summer. But as we get closer to the 4th of July next week, who did we talk to last? Oh, the Outagamie County Fair opened yesterday, and we have some other people on the slate for next week, too. So wherever you are in Wisconsin, feel free to reach out and share how you're going to celebrate the 4th of July as well. I think we do a pretty good job here in Wisconsin. What do you think, Conrad? You like is it satisfactory how Wisconsin recognizes the 4th?
Yeah, I mean, any town you go to, there's a parade there.
Yeah.
So you can always have fun at a parade.
How do you have fun at a parade?
It used to be getting the candy.
Yeah. Now that just looks crazy if you do that.
Me running out there.
Body slamming kids out of the way.
I need the Tootsie.
You don't need that. That's bad for you. Yeah, I think I used to go to parades, and I got to tell you, I'm not as 4th of July. Like, I love the 4th of July. I love what it represents. I love that people come together. It's a holiday. I love all that. I don't need to see fireworks, I don't think, ever again. I've seen them. I've been going for decades, and they're great. But the only way I would go to fireworks now is if I knew I had a great seat and there were no mosquitoes. I'm trying to make something out of nothing. I'll go to the fireworks. It's fine if they're close. I'm not going to travel and park and carry my lawn chairs. That I won't do, but I do love fireworks. How does that sound?
I mean, that's a hard task. No mosquitoes and you get a front row seat.
Well,
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't need a front row seat. I just need not to be surrounded by tons of humanity.
You know, honestly, when I would do fireworks in Kewaskum, I just like being on the back, you know, porch. Having a chair out there, watching it from there.
That's the way to do it. And you had a good view from there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see, that's the way to do it. If you live somewhere where you can watch fireworks from your front porch. I remember in Marinette, whenever we would visit, we would go there and we'd have to lug the kids, lawn chairs, oftentimes a cooler. And it was just, it's so much work. And then the fireworks are fun. And you do it, like, if the kids love it, it's worth it. But I remember by, like, the age of 42, when my daughter was probably maybe, I don't know. Both kids were young. Fireworks are fine. But I don't know. It just gets, I'm at that point now. If they're on and if they're happening and I can see from the porch, I'm in. I love it. Wow. That was a rant about fireworks. I made fireworks the bad guy. I am about to, I'll tell you this. This afternoon was filled with drama. I got here a little later than I usually do lately, and it's because we had, my son came in today, and he said, Dad, there's something dead in one of the garbage cans. There's nothing about that sentence that is going to improve your day. And he's right. Rainwater got into an old garbage can we don't even use anymore by a shed, and what happened was, he kicked it over to empty the can and like 4 dead squirrels fell out. Are you grossed out yet, Conrad?
Actually, something similar happened to me in Milwaukee, so
right,
I'm not that grossed out.
This is getting worse. All right, this is how, settle in. Pack a lunch. Here we go. They were skinned. They had no skin and they were decayed and waterlogged.
Okay.
I didn't even know what they were.
Now it's making it's
and,
work.
And some of them were just guts and then it got tangled up in the grass. This is going to cost me hundreds of dollars. Like, I went out there with a shovel, and I tossed one into the woods, and then when I went back, the smell was so bad. I was dry heaving for 2 minutes, and I just said, I'm not doing this. I couldn't pick it out of the grass, and, you know, I didn't have the tools to do that. So that was like 2 hours of my afternoon just complaining while I made phone calls.
I mean, yeah, I'd be complaining too.
It was awful.
I had a raccoon that fell into my garbage trying to find some food, and none of us saw it. I lived with 7 roommates then. And
is
eventually,
it Milwaukee?
Yeah, okay. Eventually we did find it, and it was dead at that point when we found it.
That is awful.
Because the smell was not great.
That's what did it. Honestly, it was and I was a garbage man for a summer in college. I've smelled bad meat, bad milk. This was, and you know what, just talking about it. Do you have a dry heave sound effect? Let's find that during the break. It was awful. And and part of me feels emasculated because I just want to take a shovel. Like, I called animal control in Marinette and they're like, well, here's what I would do if I were you. I'd get a shovel and dig a hole and bury him. Like, first of all, I don't have 2 hours. Second of all, the smell was so bad I would not have gotten through that. And third of all, I thought this was animal control. Like, I thought they came and took away dead animals, but I guess they only deal with live animals. Does that sound right?
I don't know.
See, you're a renter. You don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
I miss being a renter for these kind of things. It was absolutely terrible.
You know, actually, I love renting. So I had a problem with my laundry machine yesterday. Might have been my fault because I didn't know where the lint thing was.
Uh-oh.
I couldn't find it, so it wasn't cleaned out, I would say, for about 2 months.
Oh, this is in your apartment?
Yeah. And so I'm about to go to the gym. I put my laundry into the dryer. All of a sudden I start smelling smoke. I'm like, did I leave the oven on or something?
Did I put a match in the dryer?
I go into there and I like stopped it. My clothes completely smell like smoke.
So
I went to the office and I said, yeah, my dryer's got a problem. Oh no. They came in not 4 hours later.
Are you saying that like that's a fast response?
4 hours?
Yeah.
Oh, they're okay. Like, because she said, they'll be, I don't know, within the next 3 days.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they were there, right?
But they're on site.
Well, they have three different apartment complexes, and I'm on the one that's the farthest away.
See, the threat of fire will get them to your place first.
Yeah.
That you should have played that card.
And then,
well, okay, I'll just be up here doing my laundry.
Well, they came in and they go, yep, what I expected. They clean out my lint. I'm like, I feel so dumb.
But you know what? I mean, part of it is, yeah, you probably should have known that.
I didn't know where the lint thing was.
So what did you think was happening? It was just like disappearing?
I don't know.
This is one of those no lint dryers. You know what I mean? Like, what?
I should have, where's the lint going? I should have thought.
Yeah. But part of the time, you just don't want to think about it. You're like, yeah. I'm sure it's fine.
You know? Yeah, I'm sure it's fine. My dryer's smoking right now.
Oh, that's bad. I had a landlord like that once. Everything you did, it was your fault. Hey, Bob, my faucet's broken. Did you use it? Yeah. Oh, see, that's the problem. Oh, okay. Hey, my toilet, something's wrong with my toilet. Did you flush it? Yeah. Yeah, don't do that. That's going to mess it up. Okay. Love those guys. It's always you. Hey, great to have you with me on this Thursday night. We're going to have some fun. Greg Schwemm is here at 7:35. We're going to talk about his articles and some of the things he writes about, like oldies, the Rolling Stones, and presidential debates and cheese. Greg had a great article about cheese. We'll listen to that, or we'll talk about that as well. And coming up next, I'm going to talk about the show 1923 for a couple minutes because I really liked that. I'm also going to say why I hate Criminal Minds and an anger incident I witnessed today. That's all coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Sherry checking in from the 920 says, hi, Pete and Conrad. Hi, Sherry. How are you? Great to have you with us. And then Chris Elfheim texted in 715. Conrad, is that 4 exclamation points?
That's when you know it's serious.
I think
serious.
That's 4. She means business. Could have burnt the house down.
Yes. It was a good thing I didn't leave for the gym without smelling that.
That was the equivalency of a talking to through the text line that you just got, and well-deserved from Chris Elfheim. Thanks for listening, Chris. So, all right, our question tonight, by the way, folks, we don't really have a question. It's what to watch Thursday. The weekend is coming up. What are you guys going to watch? There's some big movies coming out this weekend. Quiet Place Day One opens, reviewing very well, despite no Emily Blunt or John Krasinski involvement. It's gotten very good reviews, and it is not expected to overtake Inside Out 2 at the box office. And this is Inside Out 2's third week. It will be the fastest film to $1 billion in history. Fastest animated film. Your other options are Horizon, which is Kevin Costner's Civil War era drama. The actual technical term, the full term, is Kevin Costner's Horizon, an American Saga, Chapter 1. I mean, just from the title alone, does that just make you want to take a nap? That is the most dull-sounding title. And I know he's had his issues with Yellowstone, and I liked Yellowstone for like 5 episodes, and then I absolutely hated it. I thought it was drivel. I gave it a chance, but he walked away from that. That at least had a cool title. Horizon, An American Saga, Chapter 1. I am already asleep, and it's not reviewing well. Well, it's not awful, but it's getting 44% on Rotten Tomatoes. So that's open this weekend. There's a Sean Penn, Dakota Johnson film called Daddy-O. That's in limited release. It's not going to be up in Marinette. I'm not sure if it's in Green Bay or not. I think you could probably catch it in Madison or Milwaukee. So there's also The Bear dropped season 3 last night. So what are you guys going to watch? This is Thursday. I'll read them all at 8:20. It's a What to Watch Thursday here at Nightlight. Let me know what you're going to watch this weekend. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And let us know. I think I am going to finally see Bad Boys. I feel like I have to see this. Maybe I'll see Quiet Place. I don't know. And I definitely started. I'm on the Bears season 2. So I have some catch up work to do there. So that's going to be my weekend agenda.
When it comes to TV watching. I will also be doing that too.
What?
The Bear.
Nice. Did you see season 1?
Yeah, I saw season 1. I just haven't got to season 2 yet.
Same.
So I'm going to binge.
All right, we'll compare notes on Monday. We'll see how far we get because that's been on my list for a long time. I just haven't. But now that season 3 is out, I got to kick it into high gear. And then Conrad's mom checks in. Conrad, I thought I taught you better.
You know, you did, but.
But Paula, I think you just, on the appliances you bought when Conrad was growing up, the lint catcher was just in a much more prevalent, obvious place.
Wasn't as high tech as the.
Right. Oh, that's funny. He had like the zero turn lint thing happening on the new dryer. So, all right. I have to share this. This drives me crazy. Our society right now, this is a general statement, is so angry. People are just angry. I'm not saying anything new. I think tensions are high. There's an election coming up. We're very polarized. And I'd like to say it's because of that, but I don't know if it is. I don't know what has people so on edge. I think maybe it's because they don't watch enough TV or movies, if I may, or listen to music enough. These things that make us feel beauty inside. That's a theory. I think they're looking at their phones and they're watching quick things and they're watching people post stuff that aren't using their real name and saying horrible things. But I don't know what would possess someone. I saw an elderly woman leaving a parking lot today. She should not have pulled out into the road. There was a truck coming, a pickup truck, very loud pickup truck. And this older woman pulled out. She probably didn't see him. Maybe she shouldn't have a license. I don't know. I get it. But she did. So what's this moron's response? Gun it. He wasn't trying to hit her. He wanted to scare her. So he revved it and he gunned it and drove right at her and then slowed down at the last minute and pulled to the side. If ever there was someone in this world that needed a beating, I could not believe what I was watching. I wanted to drive after the guy and go after him. I'm like, that's someone's grandmother you just did that to. And she didn't pull out in front of you because she was being a jerk. She's either kind of clueless, maybe she has dementia, maybe she just didn't see you like anybody could or could not have. I mean, what's the point of that? If you got to give a beep, give it a nice beep. Don't lay on the horn. Beep. Let her know you're there and move on. When you he gunned it like he was like, I'm going to hit you. That's how mad I am at you. I mean, what if his foot slipped? What if he really hit her? You know what I mean? It's just, I don't understand why people, I don't get it. Conrad, where does the anger come from?
I don't know. It's a different age, you know?
Is it? Has it been like this your whole life? You're younger than me.
No.
You're kind of clueless about major house appliances, but,
I feel
other than that, you really got it together. So tell me, I really want to hear your opinion.
I don't know. I feel like people are more angry when they drive now. Like I've seen some videos where it's just a normal traffic, something happens.
Yeah.
And they just get really angry, swearing, beeping on the horn. Like it's not even that big of a deal or, you know.
Like it's their road. They're entitled exactly. to the road. I mean, I get this. I see this sometimes. And I live in a small town. And I, you know, we had a few years, we had an issue in our community and people didn't like what was decided and they took matters into their own hands and took them and made them disappear. I'm not going to go into too much detail, but it's like, hey, move to the country. There's still some pretty open spaces where you don't have to deal with the rules you think are stupid. But when you live in a community, you live in a society, you all have rules and laws. No one's trying to keep you down. Go to the UP. The UP has tons of open space still. Wyoming, Montana, Southern Illinois. I mean, come on.
I also think it's just like social media. You know, sometimes you can see something and like, oh, is that how you're supposed to react? And then it happens to them and then they react like that.
Right.
So
social media where you don't have to use your own name. You don't have to use your own picture. Now you can like things anonymously. That just encourages weenie behavior. If I say something, my name is on all my social media. And if I say something, I'm obviously standing behind it. You're right. I think that is part of it. And it just escalates. It forces us not to have to deal with other people in a civil way. A civic way. Civic media. See what I did there, Connor? I brought it all back. All right. I'm done. Wow, that took that whole segment. I was so mad, though. What was I supposed to do? I haven't been in a fight in years. It almost happened today. I was that mad. All right, hey, this is fun, folks. I really believe that, though. I don't think people watch enough TV. We obviously don't exercise enough. We're kind of a heavy society. But we're also angry. I think we need to listen to more music, watch more color television, and go to the movies more. It's that simple, folks. I just solved life. All right, coming up next, Greg Schwemm on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Great to have you.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who's had a paper route for 25 years but never collected, Pete Schwabba.
So we got a text from another text. From Chris Alfheim from the 715. Chris says, it's cool. This is in relation to my rant about anger a few minutes ago. Chris says, it's cool to be a bully. Ask the former president. That's kind of vague, Chris. Right, Conrad? I mean, there's so many former presidents.
George Washington.
He could be a real bully, that guy. Jimmy Carter. I mean, let's not rule out. You've got your whole Adams family. I need clarification on that, Chris. But yes, it is. Some people think it's cool to be a bully. My next guest most certainly is not a bully. He's a good guy. He's a gentleman. He presents himself well. He's very funny. He's a guy I used to do stand-up comedy with. We weren't a team, but we shared several stages throughout the years. And he now is a syndicated columnist, and he is a frequent flyer here at Nightlight, and it's great to have him back. Greg Schwemm. Greg, how are you?
Hey, Pete, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Are you in a hotel room?
No, I'm not in a hotel room. I'm actually at a friend of mine's house.
We
barbecued, and I thought, well, I would come in here and do this. Is that okay?
That's absolutely fine. I saw the back. I thought that's either it just looks like kind of a swanky couch now. So just disregard whatever I say.
Yeah, it is very. I will let her know.
Okay.
I will let her know that you called her couch swanky.
I've never owned a swanky couch, personally.
You'll like that.
But I like it. How are you, Greg?
I don't think I have either. We're comedians. Comedians don't own anything swanky.
No. And they're used to staying in,
don't you think?
Comedy condos where nothing is swanky, where it's just kind of, there's a film over the furniture. Thanks. And it's terrible.
What was the worst, you can probably remember, what was the worst one? What city was the worst one you ever stayed in?
Wow, that's Lansing, Michigan. Did you ever stay there?
Lansing, Michigan, huh? I never worked Lansing, so no.
It was in a bad neighborhood. And it was, it just, right. When you were there, you felt like, I really know that bad things have happened here in this space before it was a comedy condo. That's,
yeah. And when you walk in and you immediately know that, you know, you don't have to think about it.
It's terrible. But Greg also, I don't know if you worked Milwaukee. That was one of my favorite clubs to work, the Comedy Cafe, but where they put you up.
Yes.
Just looked like they shot a ton of porno films there in the 70s or something. And you just had this kind of skankiness in the air. I don't know. It was weird.
It's where I discovered my first Papasan chair. Remember those things? Those big round things?
Right.
On a wicker, and it was like on a swivel. And I just remember sitting in that going, I have to get one of these. It's so comfortable, you know?
That's hilarious. What's your worst, where have you stayed that was the worst?
Oh God. I think worst neighborhood was Nashville. Zanies in Nashville.
Okay.
Was probably the worst neighborhood Nashville's nice, but not this area. And probably the worst condo I ever stayed in was, I think, St. Petersburg Beach, Florida.
Oh, wow.
It was just disgusting. They had like one fork, you know, one knife, you know, that was your meal. It was nice to be working in Florida in the middle of January, but
yeah.
At what price to my mental health, Pete?
You know, I'll say, now that you mentioned Florida, that remember the Comedy Corner? That's where Larry the Cable Guy, Dan Whitney, got me in there. And I worked there and I met Colleen. To this day, I love Colleen. But that condo was right next door to the club. That was not a great condo either, but it was okay. It was just nice to be in Florida.
No, and also, no, it wasn't. And also, not a great area either. I hate to say it, but that area of West Palm had its challenges. There was nothing around there to walk to.
Right. Except the intercoastal. You could like walk down there and see the manatee. That was kind of, for a Midwest kid, that was kind of cool. But yeah, other than that, why was...
you can't eat them. You can't eat a manatee for lunch.
That's true. Well, you could, but there are probably repercussions. So.
That was a great club, though. That's where I got my start.
I remember that. Yeah. So why was Nashville so bad? Just because there was so much country music, or was it unsafe?
I'm sorry. Say that again.
Oh, I can't repeat jokes. It wasn't a great joke to begin with, but if I repeat it, I'll just look foolish. I said, why was the Nashville neighborhood so bad? Was there just a lot of country music, or was it unsafe? And that was...
Oh, yeah. I don't know. It was just not a great part of town. I mean, every city's got its...
Yeah.
Every city's got its bad locations.
Dicey areas, yeah.
Just happened to be one of them.
And, yeah. That's so funny.
Not a bad room, but anyway, you had to get to it, so...
We've both moved on from stand-up comedy. You still do it periodically. I still do it occasionally. But you're doing great things with your column. I just love your column. It's a great way for you to be funny and probably do stuff you can't do on stage or be more subtle or whatever. I just love reading it. So let's talk about your most,
thank you.
You're welcome. Let's talk about your most recent column. I have it here. It's the, Stumbling My Way Off the Presidential Ballot. And it's great, Greg, because you talk about how, these candidates have to be perfect. You know, if they can't recall a word right away, oh, they're senile. And you're like, I've been doing that since my 30s. You know, sometimes we just forget a word. Elaborate on that a little bit, because it's so funny.
Yes. Well, yeah. I mean, this is what it's come down to. I mean, I think these guys are, and we'll probably get a sense of this tonight at the debate. Everybody, you know, they'll be calling out each other's unfit for, you know, their unfitness, if you will, for the office. And I just get so tired. And I think everybody's getting very tired of just listening to, oh, you know, he stumbled on the, you know, he tripped on a curb. You can't trip on a curb and be president. You know, you can't, if you can't walk, I said in the column, I go, if I can't balance myself, how am I supposed to balance the budget? Right. And if I can't remember where my car is, how am I supposed to remember where troops are? And they actually make it seem like this is what it's going to be. And I'm, you know, whether no matter who you vote for, no matter who you like in this, they're both being accused of being unfit for the office because they can't grasp a word, or they can't, or maybe, you know, in a foreign country when they're on a foreign stage, they don't remember what side to get off on. So somebody's got to say, no, it's that way. I still have trouble getting out of my house sometimes because I can't remember where, you know, where the door is. So I'm not as old as these guys, but like you said, you know, I mean, me looking for my phone is a daily occurrence.
Yeah.
Tonight I can never find, I only have a 740 square foot condo and I still can't find my phone on a daily basis.
I had you had a great point in that article where you were like, I can't find my glasses. Oh, they're on my head. I had something happen to me last week regarding my readers. I went and I had something in my eye and I went to splash it out and I splashed the water onto I forgot to take my readers off to splash my eye out with that pollen in it or something. And so I'm just splashing water at my glasses. Other times I've had a pair of glasses and I'm not kidding, Greg, my kids tease me. I had one pair hanging from my shirt, another pair on my head, and I was wearing a pair. Because I keep a lot of pair around just so I have them to access, so they're accessible. And I mean, I'm not elderly. I think I'm still pretty sharp, but it's just stupid things we do, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So hopefully, you know, tonight at the debate, there'll be something other than, you know, you forgot a word and you, you know, you didn't know where you were for a little bit, hopefully. But I don't know if that's going to happen. We'll see.
Absolutely. Are you, in addition to the unrealistic, you also wrote an article. I love this about the Rolling Stones too. First of all, how was that show? You saw them in Atlanta.
Yeah, I did. And they're in Chicago tonight. As a matter of fact, they're doing two shows. So they'll be taking the stage in about an hour and a half. You know, it's interesting. I had never ever seen the Stones before. But I thought it was one of those, they're one of those bands where you're like, if you get an opportunity, you should go because you don't want the next time to be, ladies and gentlemen, the Rolling Stone, because I think that's coming soon.
Yeah, right. So, or it'll just be like the drummer
Mick, you know, out the right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once that happened, once Charlie Watts died, you're like, okay. But I was fascinated by, these guys are 80. And still selling out football stadiums, first of all, which I think is incredible. And I was just so taken by how much fun they look like they were having.
Yeah.
At that age, not so much that Mick Jagger can still run up and down a catwalk at his age.
Yeah.
Which is incredible in itself.
Unbelievable.
But I think just the fact that these guys have been together for 60 years. I mean, their band, you know, their band was formed the year I was born, 1962.
Wow.
That's when they were formed. So they've been together for 61 years, and they still have, they've played those songs thousands of times, and they still look like they're having a great time. And I don't think it's an act. I think they genuinely are enjoying being out there. And I just think, you know, you have to look at that and think that's what it's all about. You know, they certainly don't need the money. But they love what they do. And if people want to come see them, good for them. You know, I just thought it was really, I walked away from the show feeling that way. Like, man, I just, not only did I see one of the greatest rock and roll bands that's ever lived, but I just saw three guys that are just really doing what they love, you know,
and
realize that who knows how long they're going to be able to keep doing it. So let's go out and do it. And let's do it really well.
It's crazy to me, Greg, that like you just mentioned they were together for 61 years. You've got U2 who's played for decades. Springsteen and his E Street Band. That in and of itself, forget about greatness. Just being with those people for that long and creatively collaborating is a miracle. That one or two of them haven't gone, you know what? I'm just going to sit on my porch and drink whiskey. What am I doing? I hate hotels. I don't want to travel. I'm 80 years old. It's amazing that they do
this. Exactly.
So that's so cool.
It is. And they could all be doing that. I saw Springsteen last year too. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we were at the same show.
I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, and there's a guy that's still giving it all his all for 3 hours a night. It's incredible.
Yeah. And Willie Nelson, I know, was in Madison, Wisconsin here about 3 weeks ago, and he played for an hour, but he's like 92, I think. And I'm like, that's another one. I haven't seen him, and I just want to go see him just to see him.
Once you hit your 90s.
Yeah. No one's going to complain how long you play for.
Yeah, but once you hit your 90s, I think you're entitled.
Greg, what...
I remember, though, when Sinatra came to, like, Taste of Chicago, he played for an hour, and people were pissed.
And if it was still Taste of Chicago, he would have probably been in his 50s, maybe?
I don't know. Maybe it was... I don't know if it was... It was back in, like, the early 80s, I remember, because I think I was in college.
Still though, I mean, he should
probably in his 70s, late 70s, maybe.
Yeah, but an hour is still pretty weak. I mean, he's a crooner. He's not bopping around and doing what Mick Jagger does and Springsteen and those guys. So that's I would expect more from the chairman of the board. All right, Greg Schwemm is my guest. You can check his work out, Tribune Content Agency. Look for his column is called Humor Hotel. It's great stuff. We're gonna talk more about his articles next. I'm gonna ask Greg about Oldies and Cheese. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
In the midnight moonlight hour, she's walking along that lonely mile. And every time I do, I keep seeing this picture of you. Here comes my baby. Baby, here she comes now. Walking with a love, with a love that's so, so fine. Never to be mine, no matter how I try. You'll never walk alone.
Going down, down, down. Come on!
We get twisted and we go.
Speaking of the older guys, there's Bruce Springsteen. My guest right now is Greg Schwemm. You can read Greg's stuff at the Tribune. Let me get my stuff out of the way here. At the at Tribune Content Agencies, his column is called Humor Hotel. He joins us now here on Nightlight. Greg, you also had an article that I thought was great about cinema. You called it Cinema Fatigue Syndrome. And that one is great because... Man, who can't relate to that? Tell us what cinema fatigue syndrome is.
Cinema fatigue syndrome, I coined that because I cannot stay awake during a movie. I can't do it anymore. I don't, you know, it's got to be, if I stay awake, it's got to be so good or I have to have somebody with me who's constantly poking me because, I mean, most movies I watch, I mean, and we're not talking, when I go to the movie theater, hardly ever, I mean, I can't remember the last movie that I saw in a theater.
Right.
But so, you know, you watch them all at home, you stream them and so forth, which means you dictate how you're going to watch them. You know, you go to a movie theater, you sit in a seat and that's what you get. But, you know, you go at home, you got your couch, you got your recliner, you got whatever. And I don't care how good the movie is. The minute I get in any sort of a horizontal position, I fall asleep and right. I just can't, unless it's like a true crime drama that, you know, I like those on Netflix. So maybe I can stay awake for those, but even then it's tough. But like the last movie that I watched was Oppenheimer. I mean, you got to pay attention during that.
Oh
movie.
Yeah.
There's about a billion characters in it.
Yes.
And you know, I woke up, I only missed like 5-7 minutes. But I still was like, okay, did they drop the bomb? Did they build the bomb? Where are they in the bomb making process here? So, and it just, it never stops. You know, you watch movies at night and I can't do it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you obviously can relate to that.
I can. And I, here's, this is funny. First of all, I haven't had a drink in a while. I think cocktails in my experience tended to contribute to that. But even now, like my wife and I watched a movie about two years ago now, and she fell asleep, I swear to God, in the opening credits. And as I'm turning it off and getting up and getting ready to go to bed, she wakes up. I'm not kidding, Greg. This is what she said. She missed the entire movie. She goes, "So what happened?" No, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to paraphrase the entire movie for you. Like, but you're right. I've done this several times where I'll fall asleep, I'll wake up, rewind it a minute, then fall back asleep, rewind it a minute again, and I know I missed something pertinent, and I cannot even stay awake for a minute. It's terrible.
Right, right, yeah. I thought you were going to say that your wife said, that she fell asleep during the opening credits, and then she woke up and she said, "That was really a good movie." I thought that's where you were going with that.
No. But the worst thing, too, is now you go to theaters, and I think you alluded to this in your article. You can recline the seat. You can put your feet up. You know, it's like they're trying to help you fall asleep. It's like someone should come in and
you
put
can
slippers.
Bring blankets. You can bring blankets in. That, to me, is the ultimate. You can bring your own blanket in.
Yeah, and here's a Tylenol PM, too, just to solidify the deal. I mean, my gosh.
Exactly.
It's insane. How often, Greg, when you write, like, do you have a process, or do you get up every day and say, "I'm going to write for 2 hours," or do you write just when you feel an idea or something you can relate to in pop culture?
I think the second one. I think that's what that kind of hit in the head. I've never been somebody who can just sit down and write. I mean, I'm working on a book now, which is almost done. And that'll be when I'm on your show the next time. It will be done.
Okay, cool.
And we'll talk about that and how I came to write it. But I think I just write when the mood hits me. And when I do write, I can't have any distractions. Like I've never had a TV in my office because I don't want it. I don't want any, I don't want background noise. I don't want music. Some people want all that stuff. My daughter used to do her best studying, according to her, when Harry Potter movies were on in the background.
Oh, come on.
Put one on and then she'd study. Well, that works for her. I could never do that.
I couldn't do that either.
I need utter silence. I need total silence.
My son used to do that. He got much better grades than I ever got, but he would listen to music. I'm like, well, how am I supposed to tell him not to do that when I'm like the solid C student? You know, it's like, oh, okay, Dad, any other life hacks you can share with me, you know, that you've perfected? Hey, you mentioned, I forgot to ask you about this. Steve Jordan, did you say he was playing with the Rolling Stones?
Yeah, the drummer.
He's the guy, he used to play in Letterman's band, right? Like back in the mid-80s, I think.
I don't know. I always thought the drummer was that guy, Anton Fig.
He was.
Was the drummer, but maybe Steve Jordan took over for him. I don't know. I always remember when Letterman's band was in their heyday. It was Will Lee on bass. Anton Fig was on drums. I can't remember who the guitar player was.
Okay.
And of course, Paul Schaefer driving the band. But I know that guy's had a very storied career as like a studio musician, too.
Yeah, he's supposed to be a phenomenal drummer. That name rang a bell. What was I going to ask you? Oh, you mentioned Hacks in an article. The show Hacks. Have you been watching that?
Yeah. Have not seen season 3 yet, and I need to start. And you know what? I can get through those because they're only half an hour.
Yes. I was going to recommend Vines to you, but they don't even make those. Those are like 9 seconds.
Oh, yeah. Well, YouTube Shorts is pretty good.
Yeah.
You know?
Agreed.
That'll hold my attention.
I
love Hacks. That's a great show.
I'm behind you. I've only watched 2 episodes, but I really like it. It's just one of those, like, I go in these phases, like I'm in, like you said, true crime. Now I only like cop shows or a mystery. Now I'm in comedy. But Hacks is really well done. I absolutely love the show, and I'm going to stick with that one, too.
Well, it's got so much inside. I mean, I love shows that have, like, inside L.A., you know, inside show business references where they really capture what really goes on. And I just think it's a great, I mean, I just think that show hits so many buttons. I mean, the generational differences, the clashes.
Yeah.
The woman, you know, she is sort of like what we talk, Gene Smart's character, Deborah Vance, is kind of very similar to what we just talked about the Stones. You know,
yeah.
You're still doing it because you love it.
Hey, and, can you give us a few more minutes, Greg? Can you stick with us through the news just
absolutely.
For a few more? All right, perfect. It's great to hear you a little bit better now, too. So this is fun. We'll have more with Greg Schwemm, and I'm going to ask him about his cheese article, and this is Wisconsin. Crush it. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.